Coming up on this episode of the Doc Theme Park Show, we discuss trip planning for Universal Orlando. Welcome to the Doc Theme Park Show, Creepy Kingdoms podcast, all about theme parks. I'm your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and Happy New Year. We are back from our holiday break, coming at you with some brand new podcast episodes. So excited to get back in the swing of things. We have a lot of fun stuff coming your way, which we'll get into in more detail on a very upcoming episode of CK News Flash, which of course you can get just by subscribing to this feed, all the Creepy Kingdom podcast, one feed right to you. But coming up in this episode of the Dark Theme Park Show, we chat with two of our very own of the team here, Melissa and Tanisha, as they prepare to go to Orlando for the very first time. They've only gone to the California theme parks, and they're tackling Universal Orlando and Walt Disney World. Our esteemed panel of experts gives them some advice, answer their questions, tell them, you know, we tell them their must-dos. It's an awesome, fun theme park chatting it up time. Definitely something fun to listen to if you've never been to Orlando and you're from California, or you're from anywhere and you've never been to Orlando and you want to plan a trip there. Our conversation was so long that we have broken it up into three parts. So this is the first of three episodes we'll be releasing over the next 3 weeks. Gearing up for their trip, we are going to start in this episode with their trip to Universal Orlando Resort. So that's what this one's all about, and the upcoming two ones are all about Walt Disney World. But before we jump into that, I just want to mention, even though it's got nothing to do with this show, just the timeliness of the release, is that everyone here at Creepy Kingdom wants to thank everyone that pre-ordered the Foolish Mortals DVDs, the last batch of them. Almost all of them have been shipped, and if you have not received yours, you will receive yours shortly. And I want to tease for those that don't want DVDs but want to watch Foolish Mortals, want to stream it in their home, we actually have an announcement for that coming very soon, like days after the release of this episode. So stick to our social media for more information on that. All right, let's get to this episode right now. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dark Theme Park Show. And here with me is Grant. I don't know if we gave you a title yet. If we did, I don't remember.
Sir Florida Man.
Sorry.
Sir Florida Man.
Sir Florida Man. It's so fresh, I forgot it. Sir Florida Man himself, Grant, is here. And we have two special guests joining us. We have Melissa.
Hi.
And Tanisha.
Hey, I'm special.
Very special. We brought these two ladies on the show because they're about to embark to a first time trip to Orlando in, gosh, when is it?
A month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Ooh. A month.
Wow.
Exactly a month.
And 1 month from the recording, which, probably soon enough, a month.
It'll be last week, but no.
Yeah, it's going to come out after the trip. No. Anyway, it's been about a month, and Melissa, this is your third time on the show, and you are part of the Creepy Kingdom staff, I think, officially. Yeah, I used to be known as the official Disneyland fashion photographer for Creepy Kingdom. And
yep.
I think that we discussed it. You're about to be demoted, right? You're promoted.
What?
but you're losing that title. I think it's a promotion.
Yeah,
you're losing
unfortunately.
The title. You're losing the title. Now you are what you are officially are the Creepy Kingdom graphic designer. So if you've seen any of these sweet graphics on our social media, you could thank Melissa for
Yay.
That.
Yay.
A little more enthusiasm there. And well, you had another title, wasn't it? From our conversation we had last week.
I'm currently the, I guess, campaign manager for the Creepy Kingdom Army.
That's right. The Creepy Kingdom Army is, of course, our online promotion team. And Melissa is, I don't know, a campaign manager. That sounds like we're running for
She's
office.
Like the general of the army.
Yeah, they're general. Yeah.
That's why I wanted
right.
to sound fierce.
Write James Carter in for 2020 for president.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's not a campaign manager.
Keep America creepy. Yeah.
Keep America creepy. That's right. Well, you sound like you're my campaign manager, Grant. So that'd be
oh, wow.
So that's Melissa and Tanisha. I would like to actually officially on the show give you that, you know, the title that Melissa used to have. I want to pass it along to you if you'd be so honored to accept it as our.
I'm terrible at taking photos, but I'll take it.
As our official Disneyland fashion photographer.
Sure.
So, all right, what a great moment. Sad Roxy couldn't be here to I'm sure she would have had a speech prepared, but anyways, so you guys are going to Orlando, and
yes,
Tanisha actually pitched this idea to me in May, you know, about coming on the show and having us help guide their adventure.
Oh yeah, it was at Bats Day, right?
Yeah, it was at Bats Day. Yep. So that's back in May. So, and I was like, "That's a good idea." And then, and then briefly, we were trying to have Creepy Tour be during that time, so that we'd all be there, and that was supposed to coincide with the celebration of Harry Potter, which Universal Orlando has had for the past 5 years, but just decided when
just
when we're getting ready to go.
Yep. Dreams are crushed.
So crushed.
They're feeling a little haggard with it anyway.
Hey-o! We need a drool sound effect. Anyways, so, but you guys said, hey, we're still going to go.
Well, our flights were already booked. Everything's
yeah.
So we had no choice.
There's that. Yeah. And I actually think that in the long run, whether they bring the celebration of Harry Potter back or not, that your first trip, it's probably better that you're not having that, so you have more time to actually enjoy the theme parks your first time there.
That's true.
Because you might be really frustrated because the celebration of Harry Potter takes up a lot of time, and you'd be like, but there's so many other things that I want to do and then I have to go.
But there's so much Harry Potter things, too.
Yeah, especially, particularly. So... And that's something to bring up as well, actually, is that Harry Potter is still kind of the focal point of your trip. You want to talk about your club that you're part of there? Tanisha?
Are you talking about me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was like, Melissa, what club? I'm an organizer for a Harry Potter and all things Wizarding World fan group here in San Diego called Wands Up San Diego. There's actually a couple of the organizers and members from Wands Up San Diego are also going to be part of this trip that's going because we were going for celebration, which they ripped the rug from under our feet. So, but we're still going. So,
and are the other people going? Have they been before as well? Or is the first
yes,
time?
Both of them. I know that Erica's gone. I don't know if Kat's gone to Orlando Wizarding World, but I know she's been to Disney World before.
Well, at least someone else will be having the first time experience. So it's what's interesting about the Wizarding World theme park experience is experiencing it first time in Hollywood. I feel like at Universal Hollywood is like a make believe version of it, but when you go to Orlando, I feel like you're actually like in a real place.
Oh, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, because you don't see the Simpsons right behind it.
You don't see the Simpsons. Right, the Simpsons.
No Krusty Land. Hogsmeade.
I could take Krusty Land. What I can't take is that huge office building just to the right of Hogwarts.
Don't remind me of that. Oh my gosh. I think me and Melissa were talking about that before, of just how like there's some certain things that they just kind of aren't very good with eye lines in Universal like they are with Disney. Yeah.
I was actually at the Hollywood, at Universal Hollywood, for the first time in a very, very long time, in like 15 years, on a Saturday, so 5-6 days ago. And I see what you're talking about as far as that goes, but it is a working place. It's not like that was, you know, it's kind of hard to change sight lines and all that kind of stuff when you're in the middle of Los Angeles versus, you know, you're in a controlled environment more in Orlando where they can kind of put things around there without disturbing the people who live right there.
Well, and it's a working studio, too.
It's a working studio.
The offices are actually being utilized. And yeah,
I mean, where Harry Potter is now is where I saw my first concert at, which was Meatloaf and Cyndi Lauper. And that was like my second concert. But it was right. Oh, there used to be an amphitheater there. And that's where they put Harry Potter, because they had nowhere else to put it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, Universal, they're in Hollywood, they're at a finding space is definitely a premium out there because there's really no room.
Oh yeah,
right. I mean, if anyone's never been to Orlando before, you know, it's awesome. It's great. It's like it's better than mm-hmm. Wizarding World, but it's just being that opened 6 years after the Orlando one, you know,
yeah, something
it,
like that,
and that it's pretty much the same exact thing. It was kind of like a little bit of a letdown, but I was underwhelmed that more than I thought I would be when it finally opened at home. I guess. But
I didn't see anything really different with it other than the fact that everything was on top of each other, that it's like, hey, you round the bend and you can see like the Animal Actors Studio versus over here in Florida. You know, you get a more transition period before you enter Jurassic Park or the Lost Continent or any of those other lands.
Right, right. Well, because that's a space issue. I also want to point out, since you said that, Grant, my first concert was also at the Universal Amphitheater as well. So we both have history there. That's really exciting, because my first concert was Jane's Addiction and Nine Inch Nails in 1991.
So, wow,
Meatloaf and Cyndi Lauper. That's pretty impressive too.
I was there for Meatloaf though, but Cyndi Lauper was good.
And y'all just answered a question I like have been having for a long time. I couldn't figure out what Wizarding World in Hollywood replaced. Like I was like, what used to be there?
Yeah, it wasn't in the park, but it was just adjacent to it. Yeah, it was a big amphitheater for years. Mm. I mean, so many TV specials were taped there, like old like Video Music Awards and stuff like that.
It was primarily a concert hall, though. There were always things going on, but it just wasn't. It wasn't selling well because people didn't want to have to go into City Walk in order to go to a concert.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm.
But moving on from the history of Hollywood, because we're going to be here all night. The last thing I want to say, actually, I just think it's worth mentioning, is that Grant told me once that while he was on an acting gig, because Grant used to be a television actor as well, at Universal Studios, that he accidentally drove into the Jaws scene of the tram tour.
Yeah, it was on a, it was working on a music video. It was for the DVD release of special edition of the movie Animal House. That I forget who the band was. It was like MXPX, I want to say. and they were doing like some special video, like reenacting the shout song, but it wasn't the shout song. It was like their own version of it. And they had us drive where the trams were. And, I accidentally triggered the Jaws thing. Now, I'm sure that, you know, that being that that was almost what, 15, 16 years ago, that they probably have a better remote system than they did back then. But my car's tires were enough to trigger the to start moving around.
Did it scare the crap out of you?
A little bit. I backed up as soon as I realized I was entering Amity Island. Yes, the house was right near there that we were filming it in. You know, like. There are a few actual sets that were legitimate sets that they had on the inside at that point. I mean, I'm sure things are changed now, but yeah, it was enough. It was creepy. It was enough to be kind of creepy, but I definitely didn't want my 85 Nissan or my 86 Nissan Maxima to feel the wrath of Jaws.
I don't think we've ever mentioned on the show before. I just found an opportunity to bring it up. So I just, but, all right. So, let's get this party started here. I'm going to start off by mentioning what attractions at the Universal Orlando Resort. Well, particularly, we're going to start at Universal Studios because it's broken up into two parks, Universal Studios and Islands Adventure. Mm-hmm. The rides that you're going to want to skip because they're exactly the same in Hollywood and it's just going to waste your time is Minion Mayhem, The Simpsons, Transformers, and Fast and Furious.
Hold on, can I ask a very quick question? How many days are you out there for?
Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't even. I knew this, but I forgot to mention it.
They have, this is kind of important.
They have 2 days.
2 days at Universal.
Two days at Universal, and you've got some days at Disney. And do you have any other days anywhere else, or are you just kind of
We've maxed out our time there. We're literally there for 6 days, 4 Disney days, 2 Universal days.
So no airboat tours or like Gatorland or any of that stuff. Okay, gotcha.
So we're doing after hours. It's going to be after dark.
No, Gatorland's great. Gatorland is great. Okay, I will swear by Gatorland.
If you say so. I won't be messing with animals like that. Mm-mm.
Okay.
They're not going to make it to Gatorland this trip.
You basically you're pretty much doing a day at each park then.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
But they're going to get two parks so they can do Hogwarts Express. But the plan
You are going to buy the park hopper, right?
Yeah, we're going to buy the park hopper, but we're going to like probably focus our efforts each day on each park. But I have to ride the Hogwarts Express. I can't not ride it. So, yeah.
I would say, yeah, definitely do it. You want to do the Hogwarts Express twice, once going into Islands of Adventure from Universal Studios, and the other one on the way back is you get a totally different experience each way.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's good to know.
And you're jumping the gun there. I have many notes about the Wizarding World.
Okay, sorry. I was just trying to make sure that they got the experience out of their money.
That's what we're here for.
And another question we had, since we're doing 2 days, so we were thinking about getting the express pass since we're only there for 2 days. Is it worth it? Or I don't know. What do you guys think?
What exact days are you going to be there?
It's going to be Saturday, Sunday, yeah.
Okay, so here's the general rule that I heard on another podcast, but I found it to be true. Because I'd like to say that I've been to the Universal Studios out here probably 20, 25 times. I have an annual pass, so I do have a little bit of authority on this. I will say that when you go into Universal Studios, the first attraction that you'll see right away is Minion Mayhem. And if the wait for Minion Mayhem is over an hour, that means you should, and if you only have 1 day, you should buy the express pass. Because that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the park. And I've actually found that to be relatively true, even with checking on the apps and on the wait times, that has one of the higher wait times, because there's only one theater. So it takes a while to load and unload. So if it's like a 30-minute wait time, you're going to be fine for the day. But as far as like actual Universal Studios goes, There's not a ton that's going to go. If you spend like sun up to sun down, or like, you know, if you open and close it, you're still going to get to everything, even on a moderately busy day.
Yeah,
it's just more of a matter of if you don't want to spend it. If you're not a fan of standing in lines, if you know, like for me, I don't mind standing in lines because I get to talk to people and stuff. But if you're like, I'm on a mission and I cannot stand sitting here for 45 minutes, then yeah, go get it. But otherwise, I think it's a waste of money.
I've never used it, and I've only my trips to Universal Orlando have not been as lengthy as I want them to be. So I'm always trying to get as much done, and I've never used it. It's never been an issue for me. So I would say that you know for this you don't need it. A whole different conversation is going to Halloween Horror Nights there. I think it's like a priority. It's definitely worth it to have it for that, but for just visiting the park, you know, I'd probably be a little busier. It's on the weekend or whatever, but I don't think
it's still January, so January tends to be a lot lighter because people are back in school, so you're pretty much just getting the local crowd at that point on the weekend. But even then, even if the park looks busier, that doesn't necessarily mean the lines are going to be super heavy.
Okay.
All right. So let's.
Another question.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Do you know if the price for the express pass is the same if you buy it online versus the day of?
I don't know.
I don't think there's any difference.
But I would say
we're gonna talk about express pass for 3 hours.
I would say that the difference is like if there was a difference, it would be nominal, and it would be more worth it for you to just kind of feel it out based as to what the crowd was like, because you know, as far as Universal Studios itself goes. You know, if you skip Transformers and if you skip the things that you already have, there's only going to be a handful of things. Like if you skip The Simpsons, there's only going to be a handful of attractions there that you absolutely need to get to. Same with Islands of Adventure, because half that park or, you know, a good three rides of that park are water-based rides. And if it's cold in January, like it can get, you know, either there's not going to be any wait for those to begin with. Or,
but
you know,
you're going to skip them, or they're going to be down, actually, in all honesty, you know, for refurbishment, because that's usually when they do the refurbishment.
Not all. We've done them in January and regretted life.
Your whole life.
So I would say that the gamble that you're making is probably a difference of like $5 or $10, and it's more worth it for you to say, you know what, I can pass on that extra butterbeer, or I can pass on that extra Duff beer. Yeah.
Also, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that after a certain time, you could buy it the express pass for half price. Is that a true thing?
Oh, right. Yeah, it's like after 5. I know in Hollywood, it's like after 5 p.m. you can get an express pass for like half the price or something. I don't remember the exact number.
I
want to
say that. I agree. I think that that's a thing that I've seen.
So I think Grant's advice of feeling it out is the best approach. But I think you just want to spend your money elsewhere.
I think the Minion Mayhem rule though is a good one that I've seen, and if you see I heard like if the Hulk, if you see it at like 45 minutes or under, you're probably safe for the day, because that's the first thing on the left of Islands of Adventure. So just kind of feel it out from there, because you can buy these front of line passes in multiple spots inside of the park. So it's not like a thing like you have to make your decision beforehand.
Right. Okay. Oh, good. That's really good helpful.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm glad we could be able to do this. All right, guys, let's talk about Harry Potter, the Wizarding World.
Yay!
And the differences here of what you're going to want to focus your attention and time on. I briefly, you know, I mentioned it in my complaining of Hollywood, but you are able to completely immerse yourself in the Wizarding World. It's something I've done while I was there, and I've like pretty much spent most of a day with it, but going back between Diagon and Hogsmeade, and I don't see any or hear or anything that's not Wizarding World related. And after a while, especially Diagon Alley, I actually feel like I'm actually at a real place, that I'm not like in a theme park anymore. And that's, I mean, Hogsmeade is cool and it's awesome, but Diagon Alley, in my opinion, is literally the best theme park land that I've ever been to personally. I'm sure there's some ones overseas that Grant will tell me is better because he's been to parks overseas. But
I will actually say that of all the areas, I would actually say that Diagon Alley is better. It's even better than the Avatar area. As far as theming goes, I would say.
Yeah, that's.
I'm going to
cry. I mean, you are going to cry because.
Cry when I get there.
And what's really important as a Potter fan here is you just really need to take a lot of time in your schedule to just take in all that Diagon Alley has to offer. there's so much detail, there's so much going on. And it's like perfect for just exploring, you know. There's not like a ton of attractions there. It's mostly, you know, it's an outdoor shopping mall. But
there's Escape from Gringotts as well.
Oh no, there is an attraction there, of course. But I said it's not like a ton of different attractions in that space. But you could. Well, the next question I have for you is that: do you guys have interactive wands?
Yes, I have 5 of them.
Okay.
Redundant question.
So might I suggest then that you wait on all the stuff with the wands until later in the evening after the kids go, because otherwise there's like a giant, I've seen giant lines to do like the interactive things with the wand. And then by that point, you already know what that like the wand is going to trigger, what effect it's going to trigger. You know, so it may be better to kind of skip some of that stuff, as hard as it may be, until the crowds thin out there once the kids start getting hungry. I've noticed that area kind of empties out around about an hour before a close, a little bit more. So that would be a better time to play with the wands when it's a little less heavy in there.
Yeah, you might want to go back like later in the day, like after you've already been there, because clearly that's the first place you're going.
Yeah, quite possible.
do the wands work coast to coast?
Yeah, I got one in Hollywood and I brought it with me last trip that I went on. And also another tip there that I learned last trip is that I didn't know where all the spots were, and I went into Ollivander's and I was like, hey, I don't know where all the spots are because I had bought my wand in Hollywood. And I don't know what I said, but whatever. They ended up giving me a free map. I don't know if that.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if that's something they just do or if that would just be nice to me.
look for the metal on the ground.
Oh, yeah. They probably have the same. In Hollywood, we have the little metal plaques with the wand motion on it.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I just didn't know where they all were. And when I did it, which was perfect, it was during Halloween Horror Nights. And so there was no kids in there at all. It was, but I didn't know where they all were.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get that experience. That's my Halloween Horror Nights tip.
James was a magical boy during that time.
Save an hour towards the end of the night to after midnight to hang out in Diagon Alley and do spells, and you'll have a great life. But anyways,
goals.
It is a goal, especially because I'm not really good at doing them. It takes me like a bunch of tries, and I do not want a line of people behind me.
Are you a squib, James?
Wow, you're just insulting me on my own show. Hey man, I don't whatever you want to call me. I was there doing my own thing. Nobody was bothering me. Nobody was around. It was awesome. Except the only thing is, once you try to keep doing it and not doing it, people do start watching you because they want to know what the hell you're doing. That happened a few times. There was one I couldn't get, and then eventually I'm like, sorry guys, it's not gonna happen. But that's
about.
And
then some little kid comes up behind you and does it in like first try.
Right, and they bang it out, and they know the names of this of everything and all that. But whatever. I'm back to my point. Like, just, you know, you definitely want to spend a lot of time there. And obviously, you are going. You know that you want to, but I would just say, hey, let's just slow down here. Let's not feel like, oh, okay, we gotta go do this. Bang, bang, bang. Let's really take that time in and enjoy it because. It's worth it.
Well, especially since there's so much there that you already have. Like, you already have The Simpsons. You already have Transformers. So it's not like you're going to a whole theme park where it's all new stuff to you. And it's like, okay, well, we got to kind of keep it moving along. And if we can get back here, we can get back here. You know, I would say a good half of the park you're probably okay with.
Right. Which, yeah, exactly. Which I'll get to the other must-dos as you know, as we go on here. The other thing I would say about the Wizarding World is talking about Hogsmeade here or there in Orlando, is that, you know, you might be tempted to say, "Hey, I gotta do all that stuff there," but if you're strapped on time and it's not working out, I would say you could pretty much skip all of it. Except, I think it's worth to go on Flight of the Hippogriff because it's a different ride. I mean,
okay,
it's a different coaster. And
is it like 10 seconds longer than the 30 second one here?
No,
about
a different layout.
Okay. But I'm just saying it's a completely different coaster. Like it's just, and I enjoy it because from the proximity to Hogwarts, I believe you get a view that is unique to being on the coaster that you can't get from the ground. And I don't really recall having that feeling on Hollywood's Flight of the Hippogriff, which
you also get a great view of the new coaster that they're building.
Well, there's that as
There's
that as well. So, you know, obviously you're going to want to go there. And again, you definitely don't take Hogwarts Express to go back and forth. It's a different experience each way that you go. And it's, and you can keep yourself immersed in the Wizarding World for as long as you can, like without escaping that area. But of course, you got to start in Diagon Alley because that's the journey, right? You know.
Yes.
I'll say that the Forbidden Journey, I noticed a little bit of a difference riding it in California, as far as the static sets went. They were a little bit different with the practical effects in California. There's enough that if you had enough time, it would be interesting to just kind of compare and contrast.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Well, it's probably because we were designed for 3D, right?
Yeah, it was additional.
Yeah, there's some of the practical effects now that we don't have the 3D anymore without the 3D goggles. Some of the practical effects aren't at work as well as they did when you had the 3D.
Maybe. Yeah,
in my opinion, at least. But yeah,
I wouldn't say skip Forbidden Journey. I would say if you got everything else done, you know, check it out, you know, and do that. It's not, I mean, it's still one of the best rides of all time, so it's not worth skipping, but essentially, it's kind of the same thing.
Okay. Noted.
Any other thoughts on Harry Potter? Because we got to move on. We have a lot more to talk about.
A quick note, they just opened up in Dubai a version of the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, but it's Batman themed. The Warner Brothers Park, the same flying bench system. They just opened it up at Warner Brothers Abu Dhabi, where you go through the Bat Cave and like fight against the Joker. So it's the same idea with the screens and then the practical effect. But I figured that would be worth a quick second note right there.
Interesting.
That sounds so cool.
I'll be there next
trip to Nisha. Next trip.
Yeah, next trip. We got to do Dubai. We're going. Okay.
There we go.
No, well, Grant is literally going because he travels to theme parks around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going next year.
That's awesome. Grant's living my dream life, it sounds like. One day.
All right. So there's that. But let's go back to the just talking about the Studios Park. To me, there's four things besides Diagon Alley and all that's offered. And the Hogwarts Express that you have to experience there. And one of the things, it has the same title as a ride in Hollywood, but it is not the same ride at all, is Revenge of the Mummy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard.
I just learned that. I had no idea that the Hollywood one was that much different than the one over here.
Yeah, it's completely different. It's a completely different ride. Even the whole idea, with the Orlando version, it's kind of like you're going into a museum and they're getting ready to film a quote unquote sequel to The Mummy with Brendan Fraser. But when you do the Hollywood one, it's not filming a movie at all. It's supposed to be that, you know, now you've gone into the movie. But independent of even that angle, it is probably it's probably one of the best rides at Universal Orlando. And it's probably not going to be around for that much longer because it's I don't know, it's been around
super dated.
The IP is dated, right? So, but the experience itself, I mean, it's kind of like going on Space Mountain, but with actual fire and ghost coming at you.
Oh. I will say that the brakes on the one in Florida are very rough, and that it always stops very abruptly to the point where it's like, ooh, so just brace yourself and understand and know that.
Yeah, well, no spoilers about.
No, I'm not spoiling. Well, what I'm saying is that at the point where the ride is over, it can't be a little jarring.
I cannot hurt myself.
Oh, okay. But it is, yeah.
So, like, brace yourself on the ride.
Brace yourself.
Yeah, just get ready. but you might. I'm just saying that might be a ride that you're like you wouldn't might not put on the priority list because you're like, oh, it's at Hollywood, but it's a completely different ride. You know, it's completely different experience. And I mean, my first trip to Universal Orlando, I was trying to think what was my favorite ride of the whole trip, and my first trip was after Hogsmeade opened, and I was debating between Forbidden Journey and Revenge of the Mummy. Like, that's how good it is. It's like,
wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean, Forbidden Journey's better, but I'm just saying, but it was a close second as my favorite. So the next thing that's a must do, especially keeping with the creepy fun of our show, you may not do it. You know, I'll be heartbroken if you don't do it.
Oh my god, I think I know what you're going to say, and it's going to scare me.
I have no idea what he's going to say. What is he going to say?
Elliot?
Yeah, Grant knows.
No.
Yes, the E.T. adventure.
Oh my god.
Melissa's like, no. Okay, Melissa, I'm sorry to break it to you now, but I have to go on E.T. because growing up, my parents never took me to Universal Studios here in Hollywood, so I totally missed getting to ever get to go on E.T. So I feel like I have to do it make up to my younger self having missed out.
Have you been on it when it was open here, Melissa?
Oh, no. I think I skipped it just because it was creepy.
So what is this response you're having to E.T.? Is this like a lifelong fear?
Yeah, I don't like aliens. I don't know. Something about his design scares the crap out of me.
I have a friend that's scared of him as well. So it's kind of like,
see,
I guess
I'm not the only one.
He's a weird looking dude, but he's cute though in a creepy way.
Well, again.
Oh no! It's like I'm just remembering parts of that movie, and then when the government comes, and like, oh, I don't know.
there's no white E.T. room in the ride.
Okay.
He's so white, laying in a ditch.
No, right up.
I got dark real quick.
Yeah, it did. Let's bring it back to the light. Sort of. It is a ride that if Universal really wants to close it. They want to, but they can't, because if they did, Steven Spielberg would murder them or something. I don't know. Because essentially, Steven Spielberg has he was like the number one creative consultant on the building of Universal Orlando or something like that. I don't know what the deal was. Whatever the case may be, he's so tied into Universal Orlando, particularly that park, is that he gets a percentage of every ticket sold to the park to this day.
Dang.
So he's not just Steven Spielberg. He's also that tied into the park. And apparently he was furious when they closed it in Hollywood.
And so he did not know that.
So, yeah. So they're like, they're just keeping it going, you know, because they're like, oh, let's keep Mr. Spielberg happy. And I am so glad that this ride is always there waiting for the adventure of a lifetime. Because I love it so much. It is, you know, it's essentially like a Peter Pan experience, you know, like the Peter Pan's flight.
It's longer, though.
Yeah, Peter Pan's flight is pretty short on both parks. but yeah, it's long. And just the queue itself is very eerie and creepy. Is a really creepy vibe because it's like you're walking through the forest.
Oh,
you know, and it's there's an eerie vibe, but
and there's a super creepy animatronic in the forest as well that shows up.
Yes, there's that too.
You guys Melissa, are really selling it.
We're selling it. And
we're
to sell
doing it, Melissa. We're
and,
doing
and
it.
And to sell it even more, Melissa, that whole, like, when the government shows up and everything, and all that, that's the beginning of the ride.
Oh, jeez.
Like, you have to escape, like, you're trying to be caught as you navigate around all of them coming at you. It is an incredible ride. And I loved it when it first opened in Universal Hollywood when I was a kid, and I'm so glad it's still there, and it is a must-do for sure.
Just be sure to set...
Melissa may not want to, but we're doing it.
I'll do it just to say I did.
That's the one ride I have to go on every time we go there.
I unfortunately couldn't go on my last trip because the only time I was at Universal Studios was during Hollywood Horror Nights, and for some reason they don't have it open. I don't know why.
They can haunt the queue real easily, too.
Very easily. It seems like you're walking through a haunt. Like, it's a creepy queue. All right.
Be sure when you're going in, though, and they ask you what your name is, be sure to say Felicia.
Felicia. Oh, so they just say bye, me. Felicia.
Just trust me.
Wait, but does Tanisha not like work
rhyme enough?
I know. Tanisha's I say bye, Tanisha?
I think you can still say your name. Yes, that was Grant's attempted humor. But yes, ET does say your name as you leave. Another exciting aspect.
He says bye first, so you give the bye, Felicia.
What a fun ride. all right, your other must-do in the studios is Men in Black Alien Attack.
Oh, good. I was hoping for it. That's... I already like those movies. Leave me alone.
I was like, now I get to take my aggression out at hating aliens one by alien shooting them. I mean, essentially, this is like... This is what Toy Story Midway Mania wishes it was, because instead of going up to a bunch of screens, it's actually a completely fleshed out immersive area, but you get to shoot at all these aliens.
Oh, and nice.
Yeah, it's an awesome ride. And it's when you first go into the major show scene and you just see all the stuff that's going on, it's kind of like, you know, your jaw will be left open. It's just like, oh my god, this is cool. And if you love the franchise, then that's even another bonus.
if it's a slow day and the line's not too long, be sure to ask for immigration when you go to the line.
I've never done that, so
immigration.
I've heard about this immigration, and they take you through like the physical sets. Apparently, if there's somebody there who can do it. And they, I guess you can bypass the line, I want to say, but it's like you get to go like an alternate line, like by all the aliens, like you're immigrating to Earth as an alien.
Oh, cool.
Oh, you get to go through the aliens' immigration process to live on Earth, is what you're saying.
That's what I've heard. I've never done it, but yeah. I've heard of it.
I've heard of it too, and I didn't know exactly what it was to speak on it.
Are we going to ask, and they're going to look at us like we're idiots?
What they're going to do is take you to the actual immigration department.
I know.
Deport
that's
you
what
for
I'm
the
like,
country.
Are you going to be like, excuse me, I need immigration, and then the next thing you know, me and Melissa are in handcuffs.
Nah, you're in Florida. It'll be fine.
Well, our whole group is like.
Brown
we're all
people.
We're all colorful people.
I don't want to be asking for no immigration.
Well, that's a risk you're going to have to take. All right. But what's, I don't know if they, and again with Men in Black, when you first enter the ride, or when you go in the building, I've had two different experiences. I've had the fleshed out experience where you're supposedly going to some type of world's fair or something. I'm kind of confused on what the story is, but you're supposed to be going to some kind of world's fair and they're going to take you to see some cool new world's fair exhibit. But then that guy turns into a Men in Black agent and then you get to go to the secret headquarters. Have you had that happen, Grant, or is this like a total?
Yeah, that's normal, but it's also like the way to get the whole world's fair thing. Yes, they still have the thing where you go into the elevator. Like that's standard. It just depends as to when you get into the front room. Because if you're like at the very beginning of the line, when they say, please enter this first show scene. You get the whole experience, but it starts as soon as you get in there, and just kind of keep the line moving. And if you're at the tail end of it, it's like you're basically already boarding the elevator at that point.
Oh, because I would say another time I went and it didn't happen at all. Like, there was no, you know, no actor or anything. So I just, like, there was nothing. I don't even remember there being an elevator. I think I just, like, walked right to the ride. It was like a walk-on at the time. But that might have been during Horror Nights, so maybe they don't do that during Horror Nights. I don't know. But anyways, you guys are going to enjoy it. You're going to have a great time and, you know, get competitive and, you know, let us know your scores of all the aliens that you attacked.
I'm proud of it.
The last must-do thing I want to throw here on the list here is the horror makeup show.
Ooh.
And that's a pretty unique experience there. It probably will seem dated, but it's a lot of fun. Where they basically essentially said so many movies use CG, but basically it's a show where they show how to do practical horror effects. But the lobby before you get in there is this great kind of museum of Universal monsters, and there's lots of like props and clothing, and a few other things are in there as well. I think. What else is in there, Grant? Do you remember?
Like just random like masks, and there's an exhibit about how they do Halloween Horror Nights. I've only done that show twice because it kind of as a local, it's just not the kind of thing you need to do every single time because jokes are pretty much the same.
I mean, it's the same show. I wouldn't say that as a local that it's not a locals type show at all. But you know, I think it's something worth doing. I don't do it every trip either, but people haven't done it before. I say, hey, and plus, you know, take a load off, have a seat, you know, watch a show.
Yeah, it's worth doing for sure.
All right, so let's go over to what's up.
Hold on, but I would say if you're a roller coaster fan, Rip Ride Rocket is a very good roller coaster.
Oh wait, I want to ask. All right, are you guys actual roller coaster enthusiasts?
Absolutely.
I kind of am. Yes, I am.
Kind of and not. See, I'm not. I like some and don't like some. I completely disagree with you about Rip Ride Rocket, Grant. I hate that ride.
So I'm gonna be Team James here then. I will not be riding that. Melissa can ride it.
And I will say that like the Jimmy Fallon ride is worth doing.
Actually, great. You can fill in the blanks there. I still haven't been able to do that ride because since it's opened, I've only been in that park during Horror Nights.
The ride itself is okay, but what makes it interesting is there is no queue for the ride. When you go in, they give you a card with a color on it, and you get to watch live entertainment like in a room and like sit down on like chairs and like a sofa, and then when they'll say, like the whole room will all of a sudden turn like blue. And if you have a blue card, that's your turn to like line up for the ride. And then if you have like a green card and it turns blue, well, you can keep watching the live entertainment. So it worked like from that aspect, it's really nice because, you know, it's nice to sit in an air conditioned building and be like, I'm waiting for a ride, but I'm like sitting down and being entertained at the same time.
That's cool.
And
that sounds
the
really
ride.
Nice.
The ride itself is nice. If you, it's of course Universal is very much the land of screens right now. It's very much a simulator. It is a flying theater ride, so kind of I don't want to quite say Soarin'. It's like a mixture between Star Tours and Soarin', if that makes sense. Like your feet are still on the ground, but the whole theater is moving.
Oh. Okay. Is that disorienting though? Like
no, not at all. It's just like meaning like everybody in the seat is moving around toward the screen and it's in 3D. It's not disorienting.
Did someone just lose their Jenga?
I was gonna say who's playing with Legos?
Not me.
Well, when I went on the first time, actually somebody they had to clean up a throw up spill. I will say that.
Oh.
But it can be disorienting, but. It's based on really if you like Jimmy Fallon's sense of humor because it's one of the few comedy rides I've ever been on where the whole, you know, like most rides are more like action and we got to escape this thing before it blows up and something's gone terribly wrong. And on this thing, it's all about the jokes.
Okay.
Well, that seems like if you got everything else done kind of ride, you know, but I haven't experienced it firsthand yet. So, I don't know. But let's move over to Islands of Adventure. Mm-hmm. You guys ready?
Yeah, so let me flip my page on my notepad.
There you go. All right, you're all flipped over. Day one, I'm sure you probably dipped your toe in the Islands as you went into Hogsmeade for a little bit there. But we're going to be talking about the rest of the park. And the only ride that's there that I guess was at Hollywood, but it's not anymore, is the Jurassic Park River Adventure, which I would say you should skip that. I'm sure that you've been on it in Hollywood at some point.
I have, and I don't even like that ride. So,
and the Hollywood version is better. And so,
yeah, so I'm definitely skipping.
Yeah, I would say skipping. And plus, it's going to be January, so you know,
it might. Yeah, it's probably not. It's either be down or wet. Like we said, there's three soaking wet rides. I've never been on the other two.
I've been on those a bunch, and they are very well done.
I want to. I just want to prepare for being wet. You know, and then I usually never am. So
Dudley Do Right actually rivals Splash. It's not as good as Splash Mountain as far as like story and like the animatronics, but as far as the actual log ride itself goes, it's more thrilling than Splash Mountain.
It looks like fun. One day I'll do them, but we're going to skip them for this January trip.
Probably. Yeah.
And I would say that the number one thing you need to do, if you don't do anything else in Islands of Adventure, is go.
That's a 5-minute wait.
No, I don't know. What do you think I'm going to say? Oh, you jumped the gun there. That's not the number one thing you need to do. No, the number one thing you need to do is ride Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that is, I'm pretty sure, not anywhere else in the world. It's definitely not in Hollywood.
It's coming to DCA, supposedly. Not the Universal version, but a Spider-Man ride. Yeah,
different ride. I mean, it doesn't matter how you feel about Spider-Man or not, but this ride is essentially it was the template for Transformers. Transformers copied it, but it's still, you know, has its own thing. And there's, you know, it's an awesome ride.
It's in Osaka, and that's about it.
Oh, it's Osaka. Okay, I didn't know, but it's the only place in America you could go on it. And I would say it's the park's signature attraction. You know, before Forbidden Journey arrived on the scene. And I would say that's the first thing you want to do. Pretty much everything else in Marvel Superhero Island is carnival-esque rides, like Six Flags style rides that I've never done. So
The Incredible Hulk is even a very rough roller coaster. We went on it last time, and we just had not for a long time. It's very shaky even since they retracted.
I coasters are usually not my priority when I go to theme parks. I'm more, you know, so there's no coasters on my list, but so there's that. But you did mention it, and so I guess we're gonna go there now, as I have to talk about the Cat in the Hat from Insidious Landing. Are you guys Dr. Seuss fans?
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of have to be the San Diego native.
Yeah, I was going to say, from San Diego, you got to be a Dr. Seuss fan.
I was unaware of that fact. Well, that you
Dr. Seuss is from San Diego.
I didn't know he was from, and I didn't know that you had to be a fan because he was from there.
They ingrained that in your head in school.
I would say elementary school, like our entire curriculum is designed around Dr. Seuss. So. Wow.
Well, then first of all, you will love being in Seuss Landing. It is a beautifully awesome place to immerse yourself in. It's like you literally walked into a Dr. Seuss book. But most of the rides are, you know, aimed at very small children that I have never experienced. But they have one of the park's only dark rides, the other one being E.T., and is the Cat in the Hat. And it is, I love it. Because it is, first of all, it's very long. Most dark rides, you think about in Fantasyland, are like a minute max. Some of them 30 seconds. And I feel like this is like 5 minutes long. So it's super long. Also, it's an opening day attraction for Islands of Adventure. And I feel like they haven't really updated it since then. So it's kind of like creepy because it's old. It's not what they're intending for me to like it for, but there's just something.
One of the cat's eyes doesn't open anymore, and
it's not that bad, but it just when you go through it, you're just kind of like, huh, like they wouldn't if they built this today, it wouldn't look like that, you know? Like,
okay. No. And I was saying on a recent podcast with James that I think that they should update it to the Mike Myers Cat in the Hat. And then that might be a little too creepy for everybody if you've seen the imagery of what he looked like.
No, I didn't watch that movie. Yeah.
Oh, yuck. I don't think anybody did.
Yeah.
Oh, unfortunately, I did, but yeah.
But, you know, it's a lot of fun. I love it. And it's always a walk-on. I've never had to wait to go on that ride. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I enjoy it. But while you're there, this wasn't on my list, but since you're a Seuss fan, I think it's a fun ride, which I do every time I go, is the High in the Sky Seuss Trolley Ride, which is it's a train, little train ride that you're up in the sky. You get great views of the whole land. It goes over the lagoon for a little bit there. And
like a Casey Jr. of a Seuss?
More like the People Mover TTA.
Yeah, because it's you're up high, you know. Like, yeah, that's the difference.
Gotcha.
So that's fun. Another thing on my list here, which I am worried is destined to go to Yesterland. I feel like its days are numbered. Is an attraction called Poseidon's Fury, and it is it's a very unique thing. It's a walkthrough attraction. It's not a ride. But essentially, you go kind of, yeah, there's a guide that brings you through, but you kind of go through these, I don't even really understand what the story is. What I can tell you, though, is that these incredible special effects take place that are just still kind of mind-blowing. I believe this is another opening day attraction for the park in 99, and like you walk through a water tunnel. Like, you're like, how is that possible? It's magic. I don't know. How would you describe this to someone else, Grant?
It's really hard to describe because it's so unique. There's nothing else like it. Just don't be that jerk with the cell phone out, you know, and ruining all the effects.
Well,
everybody.
Last time I went through it last time I was there, and they were very strict about having cell phones out even to take pictures. Yeah. Like, they were
people
like,
still do it though, unfortunately.
Of course they do it, but I'm just saying there's team members all around during, you know, while you're standing in these rooms, and anytime anyone took out a phone to do anything, like they walked over to them and told them to put it away. Like, they're like, they're very strict. Oh. Yeah.
You know what it is? I consider it more like, almost like live theater in a way, or almost like a live show, where you're going from set to set and then you're watching how things reenact. I'm trying to think of there's really nothing else like that I can compare it to.
Not at all. No. I mean, it's a very unique experience.
I'd almost think of like the Carousel of Progress. I don't know about that. Carousel of Progress at Disney, the theater moves and you see different, the theater moves. So you see different scenes. This is you moving to the different scenes of the theater.
Okay.
Cool.
So that's how I would, but you're surrounded in ultra immersive environment.
Yeah, it's really cool. But I think that this attraction and this entire area of the park, the Lost Continent, is days are numbered.
Well, they shut down the Sinbad show.
Yeah, I never saw that, but that was the only other thing there. Because essentially, the Lost Continent originally, when it was opened, had a section called Merlinwood, and Hogsmeade just took that whole section, and that's all gone. And the Dueling Dragons
was part of that.
Yeah, it was originally called Dueling Dragons, but Dragon Challenge was originally Dueling Dragons, and they just rethemed the title of it.
So I'll say that they've knocked down one of the two dominoes to like basically level that land or have the Boy Wizard take it over.
Oh, well, yeah,
and what's funny is that when you go through Poseidon's Fury, it's kind of like all the rumors have been flying around forever that somehow they would turn this into a Chamber of Secrets walkthrough attraction. Because it's kind of, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that kind of gives you a feel for like the space you're walking in, because it kind of
it could
very easily do that as far as the theming goes.
I know it's going, like, it's basically, the writing is on the wall that the days are numbered for this thing, but I hope that they at least decide to do a similar type attraction because it's so unique.
Yeah.
And you're also in AC for like 20, 25 minutes, which is nice. It's a longer attraction as well. It's not a short attraction.
No. And so it's a long wait too, because you got to wait for the thing to
tour play. Guide.
Yeah, it's like there's, it's not like a ride where you just, got to wait to get on. You have to wait for the show to be over before the room you walk into, So, but I feel like we're like trying to pitch and sell this ride to them, and we have to move on. So I'm just saying, just go through it. You'll
sold
enjoy
me.
It.
You sold me. I'm gonna do it.
Just do it and support it.
Right. The last thing, I was kind of not sure whether or not I should put this on this list, but I decided it's worth it for some of the experience of it, and that is Skull Island Reign of Kong.
Oh, okay.
So okay. I'm on record recently saying that I was really excited for the ride opened, and I was underwhelmed when I actually went on it. And the reason I was underwhelmed is that a third of the ride is exactly the same experience as the King Kong 360 on the Hollywood Tramp Tour.
Okay.
But, yeah. you're like, yeah, it sucks. But Grant did remind me when I was saying, whatever I said about it last time we talked about it, that the queue to this ride is one of the creepiest places in any theme park I've ever been. I mean, it is... I guess that's probably why I was so disappointed with the ride, because when I was going through the queue, I was just like, holy crap. Like, the only thing that this queue even comes close to this queue is probably Indiana Jones at Disneyland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a similar experience, but it's...
It could make for awesome photos, though, even if the ride's not,
I like photo the ride. In.
Grant is a Grant's an advocate for it. there's things to like about it. I was saying why I was reluctant to put it on the list. I'm not its biggest fan, but there's things that, I mean, I went on it on my last trip, so there's things about it that I enjoy.
Right.
There's lots of air for improvement, and it was kind of just like obvious to me that they took the tram tour experience and then added a ride around it.
Right. It was kind of the same with Fast and Furious too, right? It was like they just took the tram tour section and made it a...
Well,
I just did the tram tour, and it works so much better in Hollywood as part of the tram tour than it does as a standalone.
Right. It's perfect for the tram tour, but the difference actually between those two attractions that are at Orlando is that there are not additional parts of the ride for Fast and Furious. The Fast and Furious is literally the same thing that's in the tram tour.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, that's kind of... and it makes me feel even more sad for people that go on it. Because at least with the tram tour, you get like a whole... It's part of a package deal, versus if you're waiting in a line and that's all you get, I would be kind of upset.
That's a lot of people are upset. And it also makes no sense to them. That's what people say. I don't know what just happened. It makes sense on the tram tour.
Was that a ride? Happens, was that right? A pre-show?
Yeah. And it's always fun on the tram tour because it's, regardless of what you think of, the franchise or whatever. I feel like when you're on the tram tour, it's like you're just thrown into like Grand Theft Auto Vice City, because it looks like you're in a big video game. You're just being tossed around. But anyways, there's that. Is there anything... any other attractions that you, Grant, that you would say here that they must do in Islands?
At Islands, I would say if you had a spare 15 minutes and just wanted some AC, go into the Jurassic Park Visitor Center.
Oh, I was going to ask about that.
You can see how like a velociraptor was hatched. I named one mother-in-law one time. Oh, and there's a little bit of it's interesting because it's like you're in the visitor center from Jurassic Park.
I've actually never been in Jurassic Park. Well, there you go. Hop in there.
Yes. Break time.
All right. So to round out this episode, I actually had a few restaurant suggestions.
Oh, good. Get to the food stuff. I'm excited.
The first suggestion is a place that you should visit but not eat there because the food sucks. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. And that is the Universal Classic Monsters Cafe.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
And I want to say visit is the actual seating area is this awesome tribute of all this memorabilia of the Universal Monsters and pretty much the only place in the parks that have anything to do with the Universal Monsters. I can't think of any other area that does. And it makes you like, oh, I want to eat here because this place is awesome. But I can't recommend eating there, but I love hanging out there. It's grab a soda. I don't know, whatever, or just walk in there. You don't have to buy.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, do whatever. It's great, the whole decorations of it and everything, and but I would say the must-do eating experience in the park, in my opinion, which I'm sure you're going to go there anyways, but I just want to make sure, is the Leaky Cauldron.
Oh, come on, James. Do you not know me at this point?
No, I know you, but I'm just saying, just in case you're like, I don't know, I'm not hungry now. Like, you know, or whatever. Like, I love Leaky Cauldron way more than Three Broomsticks.
I assumed they had similar food, but
I mean, it's English fare, as it were, but just what they have there, what they literally have to eat, I just enjoy more than what's available at Three Broomsticks. Okay. What are you going to say, Grant?
I would say try the Toad of the Hole there.
The what?
It's a sausage and a puff pastry, and it is delicious.
Oh, I haven't had that.
It's very good. Oh, by the way, James, you were right on a prior podcast when you mentioned that the potted cream butterbeer is the best butterbeer. I can attest your good taste.
Thank you for backing me up on that. Because after my diabetes-induced butterbeer sampling I did this past summer.
Is it better than warm butterbeer?
That's pretty good. That's nice on a cold day, but I will say potted cream butter beer, which I don't think has made its way over to Florida.
I was
going to
say that's not in Florida. It's only Hollywood. Yeah, no, that's.
Oh.
Yeah, that's.
I think I tried it, and even for me, it was a little too sweet.
But so is James, and we're talking to him.
Oh, boy. A little too sweet.
But I was going to ask you, is there anything, like, as far as the Harry Potter food fair that is. So you mentioned Toad in the Hole. Is there any other food items that you can exclusively get in Orlando that you can't get in Hollywood that we need to get?
Do you have Gilly Water?
Yes, we do.
Well, I don't think we have the flavors in Hollywood.
Oh, we don't have flavored Gilly Water. It's literally just bottled water.
We have flavored Gilly Water over here. Well, it's not that great.
I haven't had it, but it's not the Gilly Water's flavor. They have like packets or something. I don't know. Essentially like getting like Crystal Light.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. No, the thing that's not in Hollywood that you 100% need to have is the soft serve butterbeer ice cream.
It is
magnificent. It does not taste the same as the butterbeer ice cream that's hard packed that they're now selling in Hollywood. It is a completely different experience. I've never even tried any of the other flavors of ice cream in Florian Fortescue's because every time I go, I have to have that. Have you had any of the other flavors there, Grant?
Not really, honestly. My wife is not a fan of butterbeer. So, you know, a lot of times when we go, we like share stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's not going to want to share that ice cream with me. And then if you're like, well, we only want one ice cream between us because they're like $8, you know, you wind up going with something more that both people can agree on.
Yeah, I don't share mine.
What is this sharing you speak of? How does that work? Is that an Orlando thing?
Yeah. and money's no object when it comes to soft serve.
No, it's not an Orlando. Sharing becomes an Orlando thing when you start seeing how, you know, when you start paying $5 for a bottle of water everywhere. You go, okay, everybody.
Used to that. This is California. Do you not know the sunshine taxes we pay out here?
A little tip for all theme parks in general out here is that if you're thirsty and you don't want to spend $4 or $5 on a bottle of water, just go to any walk-up and just say you'd like a glass of ice water, and they will give it to you.
Yeah, they usually give you small ones, but every once in a while, when you know you give them that $1 million smile, they might give you a large.
Oh, pro tip.
Well, then you say, I need 7 or 8 of these waters then.
DCA.
Wait, what's your pro
tip?
They
give you the big ones. Yeah, they give you the large cup of waters.
Yeah.
Wow. I did not know that. Very good. Now, Grant, I have never eaten that at what is known to be the signature restaurant at Islands of Adventure. Maybe you have, which is yes. Mythos.
Yes.
Would you recommend that to our travelers?
Okay. Yes. It's kind of a hard one to recommend or not recommend because it depends on the crowds. Do you want to – it is nice to have an hour-long sit-down meal where you have a waiter and you're having the whole service and all that, and it's such a beautiful view that you get. But you may not want to lose that kind of time in the park, depending on what the crowd levels are like.
Oh, when you said crowds, I thought you meant the people you're with. But you're saying how busy the park is.
No. I'm saying if it's super crowded, you may say, you know what, we're going to go and grab a corn dog for, 5 minutes and just chow that down while we're in line for something versus, an hour sit down long thing. But Mythos is, if you can do it and if you feel like you're good on time, put your name on the list and usually, I think they do the call ahead thing where not call ahead, but where they'll send you a text saying be here in like 10 minutes and your table is waiting for you. And it is well worth doing. And I don't think that the prices were that bad as far as theme parks go.
No, it's not. It's definitely as far as table service theme parks goes. I've looked at it before. I've never actually made it in there.
$20 range, I want to say.
Yeah. Full meal for $20, which could be a lot higher, for sit down restaurants for sure. The theming looks great from the outside. I've never been in there, but everyone raves about it. And one day I'll put it on my schedule, I guess, and make myself in there. My last kind of suggestions here are. Two of the offerings that are in their City Walk, which is that's probably where you're going to want to go to have a sit-down meal because just like out in Hollywood, the parks close in Orlando pretty early. Sometime 6 o'clock, right, Grant?
They've been better about that. They've been closing around 7 or 8 now lately.
Okay, that's good.
I think since Harry Potter's built up so much... they've really been more cognizant about their hours.
Yeah, they're not generally open at night. I don't know why, but whatever. Oh. But so you don't want to waste your time going to City Walk during the day when the day's over and you're heading out. There's some great places to eat. And the recently redeemed venue, Toothsome's Chocolate Emporium is one place as a must do.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I've been hearing very strong rumors, and I guess I'm saying it publicly on this podcast, but I've been hearing very strong rumors that Toothsome's coming to Hollywood. We'll see. But in the meantime, you're going to want to go there. And another place, which may be hit or miss, depending on your guys' taste, I enjoy it quite a bit, is Cowfish.
Yep.
Have you eaten
there? That's my suggestion right there.
Oh, so you're backing my suggestion. Have you guys heard of this place?
No. What is Cowfish?
So it's a very interesting place. It's a burger sushi place.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Now, they have regular burgers, and they have regular sushi, but they also have sushi with burgers in them, which is a thing. Right. And then they have burgers made out of sushi ingredients.
America.
Okay. I was going to say that is the most America thing I've ever heard. Okay.
I mean, it seems like it's America, but it's pretty, it's not in the case of that, you know, it that seems like a acquired taste. I enjoy it. You know, I've been there several times. They only have one other location in South Carolina, and I've been to that one once as well. So I've been to their two different locations, and yeah, I think it's an awesome place. Some people are just not ready for that.
You know? I've been once, and I really enjoyed it. I haven't really eaten too much at City Walk though. I used to eat at Emeralds, but that's closed, and I've eaten at the Hot Dog Hall of Fame, but I really don't recommend that one. Just not anything that's that amazing.
Well, I mean, I had there and I thought it was okay. I mean, that's a grab and grow thing.
Exciting.
Yeah. What's exciting if you're a hot dog enthusiast, and I am, is that they have regional hot dogs from around the country. That's their whole thing there. But yeah, it's probably skippable. You're right. But the other place I was going to recommend is Antojitos. But that is coming to Universal Hollywood very soon. Mm-hmm. So I would just hold off on that.
And is there City Walk? Is it really close like ours is, where it's like right outside of the park, or is it?
No, it's right outside the park. It connects. Oh. That's how you get to both of the parks. Yeah.
You're going to walk through it regardless. There's no real... You're going to go through City Walk to begin with. There is a second floor to City Walk, and that's if you really wanted like the Burger King Whopper bar. You'd go up to the second floor, but for the most part,
I never walked in there before. I don't understand, why do they call it that? Like,
they have like, you can make your own Whopper with like jalapenos and various cheeses and bacon and stuff. It's just I think it started out as a nicer concept, and it just kind of ultimately became a Burger King.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's so many awesome food options there. Going to Burger King would not be on my
list to do.
Not at all. Yeah, it's basically right there. Are you guys staying on property?
No, we're actually staying. Our friend got us an amazing deal at a timeshare nearby, but they offer free shuttle service to the parks. So,
oh, cool. So you're not
going to. Are they going to spiel to you the entire time that you're in the show?
No. So our game plan is to say that we're all married, but our husbands aren't with us, so they can't talk to us.
And we can't make decisions by ourselves. We need our husband.
No, well, actually, they can't. They can't sell to you if you're married, because they legally need to have both people present if they're going to sell you something.
Oh, I thought this was like a 1950s thing you're trying to do.
We are just like, we just completely undid 2018 right there.
Yeah, no, it's not a sexist thing. It's a legal thing.
I was like, wow, you guys are going hard. I can't think by myself.
No, none of that. Absolutely none of that. They just know that they can't have you sign any contracts or sign anything or buy anything without your legal spouse with you. So they won't even bother.
Gotcha. Yeah. Right on. Well, have fun with that.
We all got to go buy fake rings, Melissa. I forgot.
Oh,
to
yeah,
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys.
Yeah, I just say at the $35 hotel out there that's questionable. But man, I'm only there to sleep and party. Yeah.
Party.
By party, you mean go to like see Mickey and whatever outfit he's like, wearing now.
Okay, well that's cool. Obviously I figured you already had your accommodation set. It's a month out. In the future, I do advocate for staying at the Cabana Bay Resort. It is my favorite hotel in Orlando. It's not $35 a night, but it's not unreasonable as far as on-site hotels go. It's usually around the 120 to 140 range. You know, it varies based on the season, I guess. And I love it. And there's also the advantage of staying on property is you get to enter the Wizarding World an hour early before the park opens. So that's an advantage there. But
it sounds great in theory, but I'm not a morning person.
Well,
so like magic hours, it's always like, oh, that sounds nice, but realistically, I know I'm not making it.
Yeah, but you're going to be on West Coast time, right? And what time is that?
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
That's actually worse because it's 5 a.m. West Coast time. Yeah,
we need to start training our bodies. Not in my
advantage. All right, so you're not doing that. But
yeah, train your body every morning from now on. You're waking up at 4 a.m. and you're going to and walk. You're going to do the 5 miles of walking every day that you have to do in
actually,
each park.
That's something to bring up. I was going to bring this up when we go to Walt Disney World, but I'll bring it up now even too. Like, the amount of walking that you guys are going to do is going to be unprecedented, especially at Walt Disney World. But even at Universal, I would actually really start going on walks, like, almost every day.
Like, and if you have new shoes, break them in.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving, my wife and I, we went to three parks just to see like the characters and the outfits and the decorations for Christmas. And we walked 12.5 miles.
Ooh.
Yeah.
In like a 10-hour period.
Well, actually, I had a day on my last trip. I spent the morning at the Spooky Empire, the convention. And then that night went to Halloween Horror Nights till 2 a.m. and then walked, and by the time I got back and I clocked in my miles for the day, I actually did 14 miles in one day, and my body revolted really hard the next day. I actually I couldn't get out of bed till like half the day. We actually canceled plans to go meet up with Grant and his wife at Walt Disney World because we threw in the towel. We're like, I can't. And so that's just if you don't like walk all the time, I don't know if you guys are doing that or what, but that's something I would just start going on walks and getting your body used to.
I was about to say Disneyland, but that's probably pales in comparison.
Yeah. I mean, that's the closest thing, I guess, to that, but
Disneyland is my most walking in life ever, so I'm nervous. But yeah.
You're in San Diego. Go and do the San Diego Zoo up and down the mountain a few times.
Oh, yeah. Well, I haven't. I actually, for a San Diegan, I rarely ever go to the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last time I went was like 4 years ago.
But I'm just thinking, yes, that would be great training for you because of how hilly it is.
Maybe Balboa Park. Maybe we should start walking Balboa Park.
There you go.
Yeah.
I urge you guys to start going on walks. Don't take this warning lightly.
It'll make you ultimately have a better experience than
in walking shape. Keep walking shape.
Well, is there any questions or any more universal concerns that we didn't address here?
We talked about food, butter beer. I don't have any additional questions. You guys covered most of the stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, you guys know what you're doing, so.
Wow. Thanks for vouching for us.
Let them plan your trip to all listeners. Wow. Grant and James got you on planning your trip.
I don't know if free trip planning services is some business we're getting into. But for our, but for our listeners that are listening, they're living through you guys, we'd say the same thing. But doing these shows with you guys is really unique because it's like a California person's first trip to Orlando. Like, what should you focus on? It'd be fun to kind of do the opposite, too. And kind of do a Florida or East Coast person's first trip to California, what they should focus
on. Yeah, because me and Melissa then could be the knowledge holders for that.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys do it. I won't even show up. You guys can host that one. So I'm not sure if we mentioned at the top of the show, but we are cutting this into two parts because you're spending 2 days at Universal and then 2 days at Walt Disney World, which... You're going to have to pick up the pace.
No, 4 days, right?
Four days.
Oh, I thought you only were doing two. Oh.
We're doing four at all four parks.
Oh, wow. I was getting worried. I was like, man.
Oh, is this going to be a three-part episode?
No, we can still squeeze it in two-parters. But I'm just saying, wow. That makes me feel a lot better. I thought you guys were doing New World Disney World in 2 days.
Oh, no.
All right. In podcast land, we're going to keep talking, but the listener, until next time, I'll be back continuing this with another person to add to their two cents to this conversation.
Ooh.
Who could it be?
Cliffhanger.
Tune in and find out. Alrighty, stay tuned for upcoming episodes of the Dark Theme Park Show as we continue this series. As I stated at the top of the show, we have two more episodes coming on this topic, as well as some dives into some creepy dark attractions. Lots of fun stuff coming your way on the Dark Theme Park Show. If you would like to contact us here at the show, you can do so by emailing creepykingdom@gmail.com. And for show notes, links to our social media to check out our articles, reviews, all the fun stuff we got going on at Creepy Kingdom, you can go to creepykingdom.com. And if you'd like to support us here and all the things we do, one way you could do it is becoming a patron on Patreon, patreon.com/creepykingdom. I'm so excited for some things that are about to go down in our Patreon. We're going to be announcing them on the upcoming CK News Flash episode. That's all I can say now. All right, until next time, the park is closed.